morning, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate studio, 7th floor of the Trib Tower, and we're here until 5 a.m. Our phone number is 312-981-7200. Get your Triple Play Thursday requests in now, texting them in at 312-981-7200. Follow us on Twitter at Nick D Show and Facebook.com/Nick D Show. Like us there, and you will find a link to all the information for the latest film from Lucio Amaro called 1 Year Later. And that's what we're going to be talking about. Lucio Amaro has been on the show several times. I've known her for many, many years in different capacities over the years. And she's become a filmmaker, over the past few years and has made a couple of films, the latest of which is called 1 Year Later, which is about an American woman who takes a trip to the Italian Alps in a cathartic fashion after completing her cancer treatment. And there's going to be a benefit screening performance of it on Sunday, September 18th at Loyola University Medical Center in Maywood. And it's going to raise, it's going to benefit the Medical Center's ovarian cancer research. And we want to welcome Lucia back to the show to talk about that. Lucia, how are you?
I'm doing well. Good early morning, Nick.
Yes. Thank you so much for staying up late with us.
No, always a pleasure to be on your show. Yeah. Thank you for all your support.
Absolutely. Let's give everybody a little background on you, Lucia. You started out in the performing world. You studied dance and then became a entertainment writer here in Chicago, correct?
Correct, yes. Yeah. And as you know, longtime theater critic, dance critic, arts writer, the arts actually surrounded my life. And I also am a photographer, and it seems like the transition into film became very natural for me because my life led up to it, and I learned from the best right here in Chicago, all you theater artists, and I'm a great film fan. I mean, I've been immersed in film my whole life as well as a viewer.
Well, where'd you grow up, Lucia?
I grew up on Chicago's Northwest Side.
Okay, tell everybody what area.
Right around Austin and Belmont.
That's amazing. Yeah, no, that's amazing because, I mean, my parents live right around Irving and Austin.
And I know. We were practically neighbors, Nick.
Yeah, I know. And I'm at, like, Irving and Pulaski. So I'm still Northwest Side. And and that's really cool. Now, so you had a lot of art surrounding you when you were growing up. When you grew up, was there a lot of Italian art and a lot of Italian music around you?
Well, the neighborhood that I grew up in, Nick, there, you know, it was a lot of like Italian, Polish, Irish, American, you know, so I feel like in a way I grew up American, but, you know, part of my heritage is Italian from my father's side. My mother's side is Polish. Mm-hmm. And I was very close to certainly my great uncle, who was born in Palermo, Sicily, and used to give me these beautiful photographic books on Palermo and on Italy. And I just developed this lifelong fascination with the country.
Yeah.
And not only going back to my roots, but exploring really every region and understanding the mentality of each, you know, like how each region, how Veneto is extremely different from the Campania or Sicily regions.
Yeah.
And through their history, culture, language, food. And, you know, and I wrote a series of anecdotal travel pieces that explored this idea for Fra Noi, which is the Italian-American newspaper.
Right.
And most of my photography has been based in Italy. So essentially, Nick, Italy has been a great source of inspiration for me throughout my life.
Well, yeah. I mean, you've shot both of your films there.
And Italy becomes another character.
Absolutely. No question about it. Now, when was the first time you went there?
The first time was in 1985 when I was a student at Loyola University's Rome Center.
Mm-hmm.
And the beautiful full circle moment for me was then back in 2010 when I was teaching the history of dance from the Renaissance to present at the Rome Center campus for its summer session. I was teaching at Loyola for a couple of years. So I was... my office was in my former dorm room.
No.
was remarkable. And then, of course, you know my husband, Joe Orlandino.
Sure. Absolutely.
Who's the executive producer of all my films. And his background is Italian as well, and Joe has family there, and we just visited them this past May. They're in Calabria, and we both have this great passion.
Yeah, that's where
that's travel there together.
That's where my Italian side is from, is Calabria.
Yes, that's what I thought.
Yeah, that's where my dad's family is from. My mom's family is Irish, so so. But
we have very similar backgrounds.
Yeah, we do. We absolutely do. So now, when you were writing about entertainment, doing theater reviews, which, by the way, I want everybody to know, if you haven't listened, if you haven't heard Lucia on the show, she has reviewed many of my plays that I've either been in or written and directed, and was always very honest. And you know, whenever I needed, some criticism, you weren't shy about it.
Well, and I always love the idea of being constructive.
Yeah.
And in really allowing your reader, your listener, the ability to understand what the point of view is of the artist, or what they're trying to achieve, and
right,
what the message is of their work, and it always came from this place of great passion,
yeah,
for theater and for the realness of Chicago theater,
yeah,
and my films tend to be very naturalistic,
right,
and I think that's come out of so many of the works that I've been privileged to observe and review.
It's interesting, and I know that you are now in this position as well, Lucia. I have been a film critic for many, many years before I started doing theater, and it was a really interesting switch to be the person whose work was being reviewed. You know what I mean? And not being the reviewer. Like, I was, it's a very interesting, and I recommend people experience that. It's pretty amazing.
Oh, isn't it almost a gift,
yeah,
to be on both sides of that?
Yeah, absolutely.
It helps you be probably a better artist, as well as a better critic.
Both,
I think, complement each other.
I agree. And by the way, I do want to say, you mentioned your husband, Joe. Joe is the biggest fan of a show that I directed many years ago. 20 years ago, by the way. It opened 21 years ago, Lucia.
Hard to believe.
I know, White Trash Wedding and a Funeral. Your husband, Joe, loved that show so much. How many times did you guys come out? How many times did Joe see it?
I don't know. Maybe 10 more. And before I went on the air, Joe was talking about White Trash Wedding at a Funeral.
He was, 21 years later, yeah.
And he's having a Pabst Blue Ribbon in your honor.
That's fantastic. No, but I always like to mention that because I always found it so, like, he came with, like, a homemade T-shirt.
Yes.
To one of the I think when we remounted it, like, in early, like, 2001, we remounted it, the factory remounted it, and he came in with, like, he had Pabst, and he had, like, a homemade White Trash Wedding T-shirt. It's like, this guy's, like, the White Trash Wedding super fan.
Oh, he is, and he still has some of the photos from, I want to say it was your 5 or 10 year reunion of the show.
Yeah.
And Joe has a lot of those photos.
That's
so
great.
Yeah, and you know what? They think they're going to be worth something in another 20 years.
maybe they will. But it was always, of interactions that I've had with many theater writers and theater critics in the city, it was always a pleasure to read your reviews. And again, if they weren't positive, they were always helpful and they were always thoughtful. And you were always, like, one of the theater writers and people who covered the theater scene in Chicago that I really enjoyed corresponding with. It was really great.
Thank you. I always felt that being an arts writer and a critic, that I was part of the artistic process, and I don't mean that in any kind of lofty way. I just meant that as a reviewer, that it had to be taken as seriously as the artist going up there on stage.
Yeah.
And I would almost prepare like an actor going on stage.
Well, that's really, and it's thoughtful, and it always came across in what you wrote and your reviews. So. Always a pleasure to have been on that side. All right, Lucia, we have to break for the news, okay?
Okay.
And when we come back, we'll talk about your films, your latest movie, and then I'd like to catch up a little bit about In My Brother's Shoes as well.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Wonderful.
All right. Hang on, Lucia, okay?
Okay.
All right. The wonderful Lucia Morrow is with us. Her latest film is called 1 Year Later. We'll tell you all about the benefit screening that's happening on Sunday, September 18th, and give you more information about that and the film and more. And it's Nick DiGilio, and the news is next. Good morning, and Welcome back to the show. Nick DiGilio here, 720 WGN. We're live on the seventh floor of the Trib Tower in the Allstate Studios. That is music by Enzo De Rosa from the film One Year Later. And the maker of that movie is Lucia Morrow, and she joins me to talk about the film and a benefit performance that's happening, a showing, a screening that's happening on Sunday, September 18th. And we welcome Lucia back to the show. Hi, Lucia.
Oh, hi, Nick.
Hi. So that's music from Enzo De Rosa, who did music for your latest film, One Year Later, and for your film, In My Brother's Shoes.
Yes, and I have some incredible news that we just found out that One Year Later has been accepted into Montreal's Views of the World Film and Music Festival under the category of Best Original Score.
Oh.
De Rosa. So I work very closely with him because music is a critical narrator for me, and in a way driving the action forward, but also expressing the inner life of my characters.
Mm-hmm. That's great. And now, before we get into, I want to get into the movie, but it's an interesting story how you found Enzo to do the music for your first film and now for this one. Tell us a little bit about how you hooked up with Enzo.
Oh, well, there's this wonderful networking site in the film industry. It's called Stage 32, and we had put a call out looking for a composer, and it's so interesting because somehow the stars aligned, and Enzo fell out of the sky, really.
Yeah.
And contacted us and sent a sampling of his music, and I was blown away after hearing just the first note.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, we're so much on the same page. There's a great synchronicity. And the beauty of Enzo, you know, he's originally from Italy. He lives in Montreal, is that I mean, he's involved with the shaping the score from the time that I write the script, really.
Mm.
He doesn't come in and only look at the footage and place the music and be inspired by that. He becomes part of the whole journey, really, from beginning to end. And that's why I feel like his music feels so organic and such a natural part of the film.
That's great.
It's the whole rhythm
of it. It's great that you were able to find a collaborator that was that close, you know, in your sensibilities. That's fantastic.
Oh, yes. I've been so fortunate, as we talked about my theater and arts background, that I'm in such a unique and beautiful position that I have forged relationships with a number of artists over the years, and mm-hmm. I could work with them. So it's a different feeling. It's more of a sense of family in the moment of when we're making that film.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily a big group of strangers.
Right.
I mean, it is and it isn't, but we're all at the service of the story.
Right.
And I'm just very fortunate to be able to do that.
Well, tell us about One Year Later. Tell us
how
it started and what it's about, and then we'll get into the benefit performance and all that.
Yes, well, One Year Later follows on the heels of In My Brother's Shoes, which In My Brother's Shoes, of course, was a story about the brother of a fallen U.S. Marine, and he takes a very healing pilgrimage to Rome in his brother's combat boots to really process his grief and move on after this trauma.
Mm.
And One Year Later, also set in Italy, follows an American woman who takes this life-affirming trip to Italy, actually with another American couple who happens to be living in Milan, and they have a tendency to overschedule her and suffocate her and worry about if she's too tired or feeling good. I mean, this is 1 year after she's completed cancer treatment,
mm-hmm.
and she wants a couple of things. She doesn't want to be identified through the illness, and she doesn't want to be scheduled necessarily. So at one crucial point in the film, she escapes to the Italian Alps in Aosta after seeing this poster of the Alps. And while she's there, she can breathe and find her space, but she also meets individuals that help her come to terms with her new life, but she also helps them, and she helps change them. And the thread woven throughout this film is Liz's overprotective husband, Bill, who's so well-meaning and wants to do the best for her, but he's calling her a lot and worried about, you know, that she doesn't have an emergency and
right.
things like that. But then
right.
he also has to, in a way, give her space. And I feel like it's a story of a woman who's trying to get her life back after cancer treatment and a couple trying to find their way back to each other. Everybody changes in this film.
Oh, that's great. It's fascinating. Now, when did you start writing it?
Well, I started writing it. I mean, it's amazing. As I've been on this very creative role. I've been so inspired. I started writing it in the fall of 2014 after we premiered In My Brother's Shoes.
Mm-hmm.
And I could go ahead and give you some of my own personal backstory.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
I don't talk about this very often, but I am an ovarian cancer survivor. I was first diagnosed in 2012, and then I had a recurrence in 2014, which was right after we premiered In My Brother's Shoes.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to start all over again. I mean, the surgeries, the chemo, just when I thought it was over, I had to go through chemo again. And while I was going through that, which would have been in 2015, I was writing and refining the script for this. And I was so determined, Nick, to make this movie. Nothing was going to stop me. And writing it and, you know, writing it, raising the money, planning the film, doing all the logistics, casting the film, all of that, I feel helped get me through my treatment.
Mm-hmm.
And sure enough, here we were in September, exactly 1 year ago, we were getting ready to leave for Italy and film this.
Mm-hmm.
And I also was going through a clinical trial as well, and my doctors were willing to release me for the 10 days that we shot this film in Italy. We also shot a lot of it in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And here we are. So my goal is to really inspire others, and particularly cancer patients and survivors and their loved ones. I didn't want this to be this dark, dismal, depressing kind of movie that was set in a hospital for a couple of hours. It really breaks free of that clinical setting and moves into this just beautiful world of the emotion and the senses.
Just on a personal level, how are you feeling?
Oh, thank you, Nick. I'm actually doing really well.
Great, great.
So fortunate.
Yeah, that makes me
happy. And I'm being treated at Loyola University Medical Center, so this film is also my gift.
Oh, yeah. That's great. I'm glad you're doing better, Lucia. I'm glad you're good. And just, you know, that makes me so happy. And, you know, to be inspired in this way, to write this story, and you said it actually helped you with what you were going through when you were putting it together.
It did, and between the cancer and the chemo and all of that, I did take I took a trip by myself. Joe had encouraged me because I had wanted to challenge myself and see if I could see some of Italy by train and just do this by myself. It was very important for me to reassert my independence, and that started to plant the seed for this. And you know, after we shot In My Brother's Shoes in Rome, I actually, to decompress from that, I took a trip to Aosta in the Italian Alps, and that served as an incredible inspiration for this film.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't believe that it would be such a short period of time that I'd be back doing another film.
Yeah, no, I mean, what you have gone through in the past 2 years has been kind of mind-boggling, Lucia, in terms of, like, this incredible spurts of creativity and, you know, what happened to you health-wise, personal-wise, the adventures that you went on your own, and then making this movie. It's got to be unbelievably gratifying for you.
has been. And Nick, I feel like I have almost an out of body experience. I'm in this alternate reality. It doesn't seem possible that I could have done that. Sometimes it feels like a dream to me. Mm-hmm. But I just feel going through this. I don't know. It just strengthened me.
Yeah.
when you have to fortify yourself to go through these treatments, and there's just a lot of fear and terror that comes with this. And I do address some of that. I do address some very serious emotional issues post-cancer, mm-hmm. Because there is this side that isn't often discussed or shown in films that is the post-treatment part, when you're released from your doctors and you sometimes feel like you're untethered. You know, wait a second, I'm not going to the hospital. I was on this routine.
And
where's my support system? So addressing things like anxiety attacks and fear of taking a long-haul trip and possibly needing to go to the emergency room. And, I mean, there are these very real fears
that
come with this. But in the film, you know, and I know how much you love comedy, Nick, and I was never going to get away from that. There is some wonderful humor in this film, and it's very uplifting. I mean, I even have a segment where Liz takes this elevator. It's one of those funicular elevators into the mountains, and she just has this attack of the giggles on the elevator, and it's the laughter is this whole other form of release for her.
Well, listen, it sounds great, and I want to get more details. I want to talk about your cast, because you got time.
Yes.
You got a lot of Timeline Theater people in here.
I do.
And I want to talk about the making of it, and then I want to get back and talk a little bit about In My Brother's Shoes. But I do want to mention that there is a special benefit screening of One Year Later, Sunday, September 18th, Loyola University Medical Center in Maywood. And there's no admission price. But you would love to raise money, raise as much money for the Medical Center's ovarian cancer research as possible.
Yes, and donations are being accepted.
Okay, and we have a link on our Facebook page for oneyearlaterfilm.com. If you can't make the screening on September 18th, donate. Lucia, hang on, okay?
Okay.
All right, Lucia Morrow is with us, and this is she's an inspiration as far as I'm concerned, like an incredible inspiration, and has always been a friend for many years, and this is an incredible story. So we'll talk more about One Year Later, the film. It screens Sunday, September 18th at Loyola at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, on Sunday at 1 o'clock, September 18th, at Loyola University's new Center for Translation Research and Education on the Maywood campus, so in Maywood. You can get information at oneyearlaterfilm.com. Go out, support it, donate, and this is for a great cause from a great lady who is a true inspiration. We'll talk more with Lucia after this on 720 WGN. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate studio on the 7th floor of the Trib Tower. Here till 5 a.m., Triple Play Thursday. Get your request for Triple Play Thursday, one artist, three songs in right now. Text them in at 312-981-7200. We are going to be talking about actors and actresses who released records and albums and played music and probably shouldn't have. And in some cases, they should have. And I'll tell you why we're going to talk about that topic and hear some of it and have some fun with it. That's coming up on the show. But right now, I want to welcome back Lucia Morrow, who is a filmmaker whose latest movie is One Year Later, which tells the story of an American woman who takes a trip to the Italian Alps after completing cancer treatment. There's going to be a special benefit performance on Sunday, September 18th at 1 p.m. at Loyola University Medical Center in Maywood. And the funds raised will benefit the Medical Center's ovarian cancer research. So please come out. If you can't make it at 1 p.m. on Sunday the 18th, go to oneyearlaterfilm.com and give what you can. And we welcome Lucia back. Hi, Lucia.
Hi, Nick.
Hey, let's talk about the incredible Chicago talent that you have involved in One Year Later and many people from Timeline Theater.
Yes. This, as you know, has been my MO. I think my films, I I like to work with a combination of Chicago actors and then actors in Italy. So my lead actress is Juliet Hart, who's a co-founder of Chicago's Timeline Theater, which is just an exquisite theater company.
Absolutely.
It's really pushing the boundaries, but really enlightening us about the many dimensions of history and historic topics. What I love about Juliet is that, first, I love naturalism. She's such a real person. And I never want the audience to feel like the actors are acting, that it has to really be coming from their soul. And the conversation is real, and it just sounds like they're having conversations, you know. And Juliet is also very expressive in a subtle way. This film has a lot. This is a 1 hour film. Mm. It's considered a feature film, and in My Brother's Shoes was a short and didn't have as much dialogue, whereas 1 year later does have dialogue paired with. Just this beautiful expressiveness of the actors. And Liz is just such a likable, lovely person. She's someone who is struggling, and we see a lot of different dimensions of her. And Julia had to go like very deep inside her to find this character. Yeah. But she, Liz, my protagonist, just emerges so just naturally.
Yeah.
I keep using that word a lot.
Yeah.
But there's this, PJ Powers, who is the artistic director, co-founder of Timeline Theater, plays the character of Dave, one of the couple.
Yeah.
The couple who's living in Milan and mm-hmm. takes her all over Milan on this schedule. And he had described the script as having an easy eloquence to it. And I like that term because that's how the actors really deliver their lines. So it was wonderful to have Juliet Hart and PJ Powers together. Amanda Powell, dynamite Chicago actress.
Yep. Yep.
Very funny, very quirky, and wonderfully quirky in the role of Jenny, who's Dave's wife. Daniel Houle, who is Bill, Liz's husband. And Jocelyn Jones, who has also performed a number of Timeline plays. She is the nurse in the beginning. So it's just a incredible cast. Massimo De Santis is my main actor in Italy, who plays the role of Antonio, who becomes a friend of Liz as she's traveling in Aosta. And Massimo De Santis is a well-known Italian TV and film actor. He was in Spike Lee's Miracle at St. Anna.
Yeah, that's right.
He was in the role of the priest.
Right.
In that.
Well, that's good. You get such a great cast. Now I want to mention, because we're running out of time here, but it had to be difficult to have a much bigger cast this time and a much longer running time. The challenges were there a lot more challenges on this than in My Brother's Shoes?
I think only in the sense that we had a lot more setups. We had more locations and more actors in the room together. But for the most part, I mean, we have a big scene at Trattoria Number 10 here in Chicago.
Oh, okay.
Our four actors, and then we have all these extras filling up the restaurant. Okay. So yes, there were challenges, but I think it still has that same intimacy, Nick, of In My Brother's Shoes.
Okay. I do want to mention In My Brother's Shoes is a terrific film that we've mentioned a few times. Danny McCarthy is in it, a legendary, fantastic, a wonderful Chicago actor. It won Best Short Film at the 2015 Catholic Film Festival at the Vatican.
Yes.
That's amazing. That's so great.
It was so special because we filmed it. One of our pivotal scenes is filmed in St. Peter's Square.
Yeah.
And then we were also featured in the short film corner of the Cannes.
At the Cannes Film Festival. That's so great, Lucia.
Yeah.
And people can see In My Brother's Shoes, correct? How can people see it?
Yes. Well, We're actually doing a screening on October 8th at the Pritzker Military Museum.
Okay.
And it's part of their Saturday matinee series. But it's also available on the Pixiv Movie Network, and that's on our website.
Okay.
The MyBrothersShoes.com website.
Okay.
And I know we're running out of time, Nick. I just wanted to point out that both In My Brother's Shoes and One Year Later are part of our not-for-profit film model. Joe and I founded a not-for-profit called In My Brother's Shoes, Inc., which is dedicated to helping individuals suffering from the many forms of post-traumatic stress disorder. So that could be from the military perspective. It could be from the health perspective. There are a lot of different situations that feed into PTSD.
We have a link to all that information where you can give, where you can support, where you can see the films on our Facebook page at facebook.com/NickDShow. One more time, special benefit screening of One Year Later, Sunday, September 18th at the Loyola University Medical Center in Maywood at 1 p.m. If you can't make it, please give. Really, Lucia, it's so great talking to you, and I'm so glad you're feeling well.
Oh, thanks so much, Nick. It's really fantastic. I always enjoy being on your show.
Anytime you want to come back. Anytime you want to come back. And good luck with everything that that happens on One Year Later and more, okay?
Oh, thank you so much. I hope you can make it to screening.
Okay, thanks, Lucia.
You're welcome.
There you go. Lucia Mora, everybody. I love her. One Year Later. You can go to oneyearlaterfilm.com. A true inspiration and a really good filmmaker and a good friend. All right, we'll take a break. The news is up next.